And now I'm going to move on to our third investigation involving Catholic Church clergy abuse. So, to the best of my knowledge, this office, I don't think, has talked very much about our ongoing investigation into Michigan's seven Catholic dioceses. So let me bring you up to speed on this. In October, simultaneous raids were executed at all seven dioceses: Detroit, Saginaw, Lansing, Marquette, Gaylord, Kalamazoo, and Grand Rapids. And that involved nearly 70 officers and special agents, mostly state police, and 14 assistant attorneys general who assisted the officers during the execution of those search warrants. Michigan is the first state to execute a statewide search warrant and was on site to collect the materials deemed relevant to the investigation. We did not depend on the diocese to turn over documents, which is what primarily happened in other states. So as a result of that search, our team seized and is now continuing to review hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, including procedures for receiving and investigating allegations of abuse by the church. Our investigative team has met or spoken with the lawyers representing each of the Michigan seven dioceses. We sent a letter to every parish in the state asking them to inform their parishioners of this investigation. Now, as of this date, we've received more than 300 tips through our clergy abuse hotline and online tip form, and there are tips being investigated right now for potential criminal prosecution. So what we're doing is we're strongly urging victims or anyone who knows of a victim to contact the state's team of certified law enforcement investigators by calling this number. It's up there. 1-844-324-3374, or filling out our online tip form at michigan.gov/clergyabuse. Now, we've asked the diocese to hold off on their own internal review process until our investigation can be concluded. And it's important for the public to know that this investigation is statewide. Priests have been moved from one diocese to the next, protecting the priests and the parish. And we're also going to be cooperating with other states, and I believe it's 12 other states, that now have similar ongoing investigations, because we know that there have been priests that have been moved from state to state to state. So this will be a cooperative effort. And what I would like to say to the public is this. If an investigator comes to your door and asks to speak with you, please ask to see their badge and not their rosary. Okay? And here's why that matters. Because many churches and dioceses appear to be self-policing and encouraging parishioners to report abuse to them so they can conduct their own internal investigations. And so we've heard many stories from victims who've been encouraged to take settlements and sign NDAs, or non-disclosure agreements. And victims may believe that they cannot or should not report abuse to us because the church is going to handle it. And simply put, that's just not true. Firstly, if you signed an NDA, you still have a right, and I would say a responsibility, to speak to law enforcement authorities. An NDA will not protect the church. As we've seen, again, priests were moved from parish to parish and diocese to diocese, and that's why our statewide investigation is so critically important. We can and we will follow the trail of abuse where it's occurred. Now, the victims, many of whom were abused years ago and have silently lived with the pain, anguish, and emotional scars well into adulthood, deserve to be heard, and their abusers deserve to be brought to justice. The clergy abuse investigation is jarringly similar to the MSU investigation in that both institutions, when confronted with a public sex abuse scandal, publicly pledged their cooperation with law enforcement authorities, but have failed to deliver on those public promises. And regrettably, it would seem as though these two powerful institutions care more about protecting their brand than the people they serve. But if the Catholic Church really wants to stand up to its pledge to assist in our investigation, I would like to say this. Here's how they can actually help. Firstly, Stop self-policing. Our office is conducting a thorough investigation, and it's important we be able to talk with any and all victims harmed by these egregious acts without the intervention of the church. Secondly, look, we may not be able to charge every priest, but our office will be sending letters to the diocese when we find credible allegations. And we ask that the diocese step up and, you know, deal with these abusers and protect people from them when the statute of limitations keeps us from being able to do that ourselves, which is often the case. Or, frankly, when there are other unethical acts that are uncovered and then we make the the parish is aware of. And I know that just recently we had a number of cases where we saw acts that could not be charged criminally. Maybe they didn't rise to the level of criminal liability, but they were certainly incredibly unethical acts of priests who were in sexual relationships with the parishioners. Oops. And thirdly, work with our office to set up a fund for the victims that we can then administer so victims can get the help that they rightfully deserve for the trauma that they experienced under their watch. I should say the watch of the church. So, you know, unfortunately, I mean, the reality is there are predators in the priesthood that are still out there, and we feel as though they have to be stopped. And we need to ensure that this doesn't happen again and that bad actors are consistently held accountable. And also, frankly, it can lead to other changes in the law, such as mandatory reporting statutes that may be important through this investigation. So we're committed to releasing a final report at the end of this investigation so that everyone knows and understands what we've uncovered during the course of this lengthy investigation.